hear me? Okay. Good morning and happy 4th of July. I'd like to start this morning by asking you to think about something you treasure. Maybe if you've recently come to this country, this is a very special day for you because you treasure the freedom that you have here in America, the freedom to worship God. Maybe if you're a Laker fan, you treasure the fact that Phil Jackson is coming back next year because all you can think about is a three-peat. You want one more championship. When I thought about something I treasure, I thought about a good meal. So like a lot of the people here at Lighthouse, I love red meat. So I thought about my favorite place to get red meat. That's Mastro's Steakhouse. I thought about my favorite dilemma there. Do I get the 22-ounce bone-in filet or the 24-ounce bone-in ribeye? Because they're both excellent. And they have some great side dishes there, and I just treasure the thought of going there to eat dinner. Maybe you treasure a certain vacation destination, like Hawaii. You treasure those white, sandy beaches. You treasure the clear water, the chance to swim and see all the fish, the turtles. You treasure getting shave ice at Matsumoto's or Aoki's or Waiola, wherever your favorite place may be. Maybe you treasure family. You treasure your children, your parents, your grandparents, your aunties and uncles. Or maybe you treasure just a moment of peace and quiet. Your family's so busy. The kids have school, gymnastics, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts. It's just at that end of the day when everyone's in bed, and you treasure just those few moments when you can have a stillness about yourself, you can spend some time with the Lord reading the Word. That's what you treasure. Well, today, we're wrapping up a four-message series about treasuring Christ. Back in April, several of the men from the church went to a conference called Together for the Gospel back in Louisville. And at this conference, we were reminded of the importance of the gospel and of Jesus Christ. And out of that conference, the leadership of the church wanted to create a series where we would talk about the importance of treasuring Jesus Christ. Jesus isn't just someone we give thanks to before we eat a meal. Jesus isn't just someone we say a couple of short prayers to before we tuck our kids into bed. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. And our lives are meant to be all about Him. Our thoughts, our actions, our motivations, everything about us is meant to be about Jesus Christ. To sum it up, we should treasure Jesus Christ. Now I want you to think about the emotions that come to mind when you think about Christ. Is it love? Is it frustration? Is it anger? Is it indifference? Is it passion? Do you treasure Jesus Christ? Do you treasure Him more than dinner at your favorite restaurant? Do you treasure Jesus more than that vacation that you have planned 3 months, 6 months out? Maybe you think about that every day. You can't wait to go, but do you treasure Christ even more? How about your family? Do you even treasure Christ more than your family? The Bible says the greatest commandment is to love God. Do you treasure Him? Well, by the end of the message today, my prayer is that we would all treasure Jesus Christ more than anything else. I hope that we will treasure Him more than our favorite meal, our favorite place to spend time, more than our favorite activities or hobbies. I hope that we will even treasure Him more than our careers, more than our possessions, more than our favorite sports team. And to encourage us in this area today, we're going to take a look at an encounter that Jesus had with a group of lepers. We're going to see how one of these lepers treasured Jesus because of His love and mercy. If you'll please turn with me to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke writes, "On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifting up their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourself to the priests.' And they went, and as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Can you please pray with me? God, we thank you for your word, for the instruction that we find in it, for the encouragement we find in it. And I pray for your blessing now as we go through your word, that your spirit would soften our hearts so that we can treasure Christ more. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. So today in our message, we're going to see how we can treasure Christ in light of his love and mercy. And our first point is that we need to appreciate what Christ has done. We need to appreciate what Christ has done. If you want to treasure the love of Christ, then you need to appreciate what he has done for us. My daughter, Kylie, she's 4.5 now. And growing up, Kylie loved Dora the Explorer. So if you're not familiar with Dora, she's this little cartoon character. She's got big eyes, and she goes on these adventures with her friend Boots the Monkey. So they do have different tasks. They usually have to find something, they have to get to a destination. But she loves Dora. And so growing up, she had Dora pajamas, a Dora pillowcase, Dora sheets, Dora DVDs, a Dora kitchen, Dora everything, Dora stuffed animals, a Dora doll. So she loved Dora. And when Christmas came around last year, some good friends came to visit us. And they brought Kylie a gift. And so she was super excited. She loves getting gifts. And so she started tearing off the bow and the ribbon and the wrapping paper. And as she opened it up, it was a Dora Play-Doh set. So they're thinking, right on, right? Kylie loves Dora. But she told them, "Oh, I don't like Dora anymore. I like princesses." And this is right in front of our friends. So you can imagine how embarrassed we were. It was quite a moment. But isn't it easy for us not to appreciate what Jesus Christ has done for us? It seems that it can be difficult to thank him for even the trivial things, from having food, to maybe having a job, to the great things such as our salvation. We often fail to appreciate what Jesus has given us. If we look in verse 12 of our passage, we see that Jesus encounters a group of lepers. Now, if you grew up going to Sunday school, you've probably heard about leprosy. I mean, you may have these visions from a Sunday school lesson gone bad of arms or fingers falling off, something very graphic, maybe it really scared you. In reality, leprosy wasn't quite that bad, but it is a disease that affects the skin. It affects the nerves in your skin, so a lot of times people who have leprosy have sores, or maybe they lose sensation in their skin, so they may cut themselves and not realize it, leading to infections and real serious problems. Well, this is the group of people who Jesus encounters as he comes into this village. And although these physical symptoms would have been really painful, it was really the social pain that was difficult for lepers in biblical times. See, going back to the time of Moses, if you look in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, or Numbers chapter 5, we see that God declared that those with leprosy are unclean, and therefore they had to be separated from the rest of society. Well, because of these commands, the lepers were forced to the outskirts of the village. And that's where Jesus encountered them. Socially, they were like untouchables. They were outcasts because of their leprosy. They would have been treated differently from everyone else. Consider how difficult this would have been for them emotionally, not having that social component of their lives. The closest example I can think of is if you think about the way we saw HIV/AIDS about 20 years ago, before Magic Johnson came and told the world that he was HIV positive. Right? There were a lot of questions at that time. People didn't know how to interact with people who had HIV. They had questions. Can I shake that person's hand without getting sick? If I'm playing basketball and they're sweating, what if I touch their sweat? Will I get infected? How can I interact with someone who had HIV? And a lot of people were very cautious, right? They didn't want to get HIV. Well, it's no wonder that these lepers here cried out to Jesus when they saw him in verse 13. Because by this time in his ministry, people had heard about Jesus. They knew that if I could just touch his cloak, I might be healed. With one word, he could take this leprosy away. He could even raise people from the dead. So you can imagine how excited these men would be because they wanted their lives back. Thinking again to how the world, the media portrayed people with HIV 20 years ago, how they were isolated in a sense. There were a lot of questions, a lot of fear. You can imagine how these lepers would have felt. Put yourself in their shoes for a moment. If only I could touch Jesus, maybe I can be restored to my family. Maybe I can hold my children again. Maybe I can go have a meal with my family, see my friends. Maybe I can get my job back so that I can support my family and not have to beg here on the side of the road. And this was a huge deal for them. And so it's no surprise that when they see Jesus, they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Because their lives could be changed by him. Well, in his love and mercy, Jesus responds to their call. Again, you can imagine how excited these men must have been as Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priests. They're probably running like little kids, just laughing and screaming because they knew their lives were going to be changed. Have you ever had one of these moments? A moment where you knew your life was going to be changed? It could be that when you're in high school, and you're applying to college, and you get that envelope. And instead of, at least when I went to college, I don't know if it's the same, you get that big one instead of the little one, right? You know that you got in. And you know your life is going to change because it means you're going to go to that college of your dreams. Or maybe coming out of school, and you get that job you've been dreaming about. You know, there's that one, you knew that company was the right fit, and they call and make you an offer. Maybe it's that moment when the person that you've been dreaming about calls and asks you out. And you get to go on that first date. That moment changes your life. Or maybe it's when your children are born. You know your life's going to change at that moment. You just don't realize how much, but you know your life's going to change at that moment. Maybe it's that moment when you got to tell your boss, you know, thank you very much, I'm going to retire. And you knew you didn't have to go to work after that. It changed your life. For me, I remember a moment in my relationship with my wife. We've been married for 8.5 years now, but before we started dating, there was a time when I was at the post-Mount Hermon rally. So a lot of us here at Lighthouse were at a camp called Mount Hermon last week, and there's a rally that they have after camp for the students where they can get together and hear a speaker. Well, I remember I was at the post-Mount Hermon rally at Wintersburg Church in Orange County, and while I was there, Carrie, who's now my wife, came and asked me if I would help coach a basketball team with her at Evergreen, which was the church we were at then. And I was so excited because I knew that moment my life was going to change because I already was attracted to Carrie, but I knew that coaching a team together meant that we would be spending at least 2 days a week together with these kids. And we would be doing that for several years. And in the course of coaching the team, we started dating and eventually we got married. But that moment changed my life. Well, for these lepers, this is that moment that changed their life. This was the greatest thing that had happened to them. They encountered Jesus and they were healed. This was also their opportunity to appreciate what Christ had done for them. But as verse 15 says, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Only one. One out of the 10 lepers appreciated what Christ had done for him. And we notice that the text says it was a Samaritan, not a Jew who returned. Right? The Jews were the quote-unquote religious people of the day. But it was a Samaritan who came back and thanked Jesus. If we jump ahead to verse 17, we see how Jesus responded to this. Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" What Jesus did for these lepers was nothing short of life-changing. They went from a life of shame and rejection to a life back in community with their family and their friends. They went from a life where there was really no hope. They were going to be stuck on the outskirts of the city for the rest of their life. And they're back in the city now. They're interacting with people. They get their jobs back. They can see their kids. With all that Jesus gave them, wouldn't you expect all 10 to come back to give him thanks? And I'm sure that you can think of a time when you did something nice for someone. Maybe you gave them a gift. Maybe you volunteered to take someone to the airport. You volunteered your time at a hospital or a homeless shelter. And maybe when you did that, your efforts weren't acknowledged. You know how disappointing that can be. Now I want you to think about your own relationship with Jesus Christ. How much of the time do you appreciate what Christ has done for you? If we want to treasure Christ, we must appreciate what he's done. If you're a Christian, the most obvious thing that you should appreciate is your salvation. The lepers in this story, they had their earthly lives restored. They were physically healed. They were able to go back into society. But for those of us who are Christians, we've been spiritually healed. Our sins have been forgiven. Our relationship with God has been restored. And we can look forward to an eternity in heaven where we will worship him. We've received so much. This is the love and mercy of God. In the book of Romans, in the Bible is very clear that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is disobeying God. It's rebelling against God's command. It's not obeying the command he's given in the scripture. And for this rebellion, we all deserve hell. I know this is not a popular concept today. People ask, how could a loving God send people to hell? How could he do that? That's not fair. Many people have a hard time accepting that people who live decent lives or good lives could be sent to hell. But this is what the Bible teaches. It's very clear what the punishment for our sin is. If you look at Romans 3:23, it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of our sin is death. I believe both physical and spiritual, an eternal separation from God. In Matthew 25, Jesus describes the final judgment. Well, he will separate the sheep from the goats. And he says when he does this, for those who have rejected him, he says in Matthew 25:41, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The Bible is very clear that all of us are deserving of an eternity in hell. It's also very clear that we're not saved because of anything we've done. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But as John 3:16 says, we're saved because God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he sent his only son to die to pay the penalty for our sins. In his love and mercy, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that we might have salvation. In the midst of the happiest moment of his life, Luke 17:15 tells us that one leper turned back. He turned back so that he could see his Savior. He could see the one who healed him. Can you imagine how he must have felt? He must have had tears of joy streaming down his face, knowing that he could go back to society. His heart must have been beating hundreds of beats a minute. He knew his life had been changed. It's so easy to go on in life when God has done something significant in our lives. That's what the 9 lepers did. But this one, he turned back to appreciate what Christ had done in his life. In response to this man's actions, Jesus declared that his faith made him well. And I believe that Jesus is saying more than just physically, but spiritually. This one man who turned back, he had been spiritually healed. He had been forgiven of his sins, and he would worship God for all eternity in heaven. This morning, I want to ask you, do you appreciate what Christ has done for you? Do you appreciate that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? It wasn't for his sins, it was for our sins. When was the last time you turned back to your Savior to appreciate, to say thank you for what he's done? If we truly want to treasure Christ, then we must appreciate the love and mercy that Christ has shown us. Don't be like those other 9 men who kept going, who didn't stop to turn back and to appreciate their Savior. Right now, just take a few seconds to jot down 1 or 2 things that you appreciate about Christ. Just jot it down in your notes, and at the end of the service, we're going to have time of communion, and you'll have time to reflect upon those things. So if you just take a couple of seconds to do that. Okay, the second thing that we can do to treasure Christ in light of his love and mercy is to worship Christ for what he's done. We can worship Christ for what he's done. After we realize our need to appreciate Christ and what he's done in our lives, we should respond by worshiping him. For I believe that we will treasure whatever or whoever we worship. We will treasure whatever or whoever we worship. In verses 15 and 16, we see 3 ways that we can worship. And the first is that we can worship by offering praise. We can worship by offering praise. As a Samaritan man and turned back, verse 15 tells us that he was praising God with a loud voice. This man who had been crying out for mercy just minutes ago is now praising God with that same loud voice. How many times have you been in that type of situation where 1 minute you're asking God for mercy, you're asking him to provide, to pay for your bills, you're asking him to help you bring resolve to a conflict at work, you're asking him to help you get through a difficult day, and then you're in a place where he's answered that prayer? Maybe you've been praying for a friend or family member who's been sick. They were recently admitted to the hospital, but God has healed them. Maybe you've been praying for the salvation of a friend or family member. And maybe they're sitting here next to you in church today. Or maybe they've accepted Christ in another church, but they know the Lord now. Maybe you've been pleading with God to provide a job for you. And he's done that faithfully. I'd like to ask you, did you treasure Christ in response to the love and mercy he showed you by worshiping and by offering him praise? I think one thing we can do to help us treasure Christ is to offer praise. This man, he responded to God's mercy by praising him with a loud voice. He was full of gratitude. And he didn't hold back in expressing it. If we look at the text, it says that he praised him in a loud voice. This comes from the Greek words phonos megalos, from which we get the word megaphone. This guy wasn't holding back. Now, I'm not saying that shouting praise to God is the only way that you can praise him. That's not what I'm saying. But I think it's important to see how this man publicly gave glory to God by praising him. I know a lot of us tend to be quiet, introverted. We don't want to stand out. But remember, we were created to glorify God. Isaiah 43:7 tells us this, that we were created to glorify God. When God does wonderful things in our lives, we should worship him by giving him praise. Why is it that we're so eager to spread gossip? Maybe to talk bad about someone you don't like at work, someone you're frustrated with. Why is it so easy to do that, but it's so difficult to tell people about Jesus? We're so scared to tell our unsaved friends or family members about God's love. Why is that? If we are meant to bring glory to God, and we should express that glory in a way where other people can see it, where they can praise God. It's an opportunity to let other people know what God has been doing in your life. You know, the church gets a lot of bad press these days, right? If you watch the news, it seems like the church does nothing right. But if the people of God give praise to God, if they share what he's doing in their lives, then people will know what a great God we have. And this is one way we can worship. This past week, my family and I were at Mount Hermon, that church camp that I mentioned earlier. And so we just came back last night. But during one of the meals, we sat down, and a lady asked if she could join us. And so there's a round table, and there's about probably 8 to 10 chairs there. And as we sat, we introduced ourselves to this lady, and she was telling us how she had always wanted to come to Mount Hermon. She lives in another state, so it was quite a journey for her and her family, but it was always so expensive to come to Mount Hermon, so she never came. And yet she pointed out how in the midst of the tough economic times right now, here they were. She was at the family camp with us, and her children were at the junior high and high school camps. And she said the reason they were able to come is because the people at her church took a collection, and they paid for her family's trip to come to Mount Hermon. And she was praising God because of this. Now, she didn't have to tell anyone this, right? She could have kept it inside of her. But she didn't want to do that. She wanted to publicly praise God because of the generosity of the people at her church, and ultimately because God had provided for her. And she didn't have to tell us that. But for me, that was one of the biggest blessings of the week. Just seeing how she was so joyful and being reminded of our God's goodness. And I don't know how many more people she told that story to, but I believe she told it to many. And it was a blessing to people because she publicly gave praise to God. One way that we can worship God is by praising him publicly. The second way that we can worship is by being humble. We can be humble. When we are humble, we stop treasuring ourselves, and we can start to treasure Christ. When we are humble, we stop treasuring ourselves, and we start to treasure Christ. When we see that the leper came back to Jesus, verse 16 tells us that he fell at Jesus' feet. This man bowed down in respect and humility. He knew that he hadn't deserved to be healed. He hadn't done anything where Jesus owed him a favor. He recognized that Jesus, the God of this universe, had healed him by his grace, and he responded with humility by bowing down before him. If we truly want to treasure Christ, then we need to worship him by being humble. For many of us, I believe this is one of the greatest obstacles we have to really treasuring Christ. If you look around, God's blessed the people here in this room. He's given us intelligence. He's given us the ability to work. He's given us a lot of material things. And it's easy to look at those things and say, you know what? I've worked hard for those things. I've done a good job in life. And to look at ourselves. It's easy to take pride in ourselves. But if we're humble, we look past what we've done, and we see that God is the one who's given it to us. And then we can truly treasure Christ. D.L. Moody, the famous American evangelist and author, he had a quote that was nice and concise. He said, "Be humble or you'll stumble. Be humble or you'll stumble." We need to be humble or we will stumble in treasuring Christ. What are those areas of pride in your life, those strongholds that keep you from truly treasuring Jesus Christ in your life? Is it your job? Is it how much money you have in the bank? Is it your accomplishments? Where do you need to grow in humility so that you can treasure Christ more than anything else? For those here who don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to examine the pride you have in your own life and thinking that maybe you're a good enough person to get into heaven, that you deserve to get into heaven because you've done some good things in your life. This is a popular belief in our world today, but this is not what the Bible teaches. Earlier, I showed you in Romans how the Bible says that we have all sinned. That means we all need to humbly acknowledge our need for a Savior and Jesus' forgiveness. Whether you are a Christian or not, humility is a key to treasuring Christ. Because if you don't have humility, you can't appreciate what Christ has done for you, and you can't worship him fully. The third way that we can worship is we can worship by giving thanks.
We can worship by giving thanks. Growing up as a child, you're taught to say please and thank you. Right? And hopefully as adults, we carry those on into our adulthood to be courteous. I think when it comes to our spiritual life, we're really good at that please part, aren't we? Please, God, provide me a raise. Please watch over my kids. Please help the Lakers to win, whatever it may be. Right? We pray for things. And we please, please. But how often do we say thank you? How often do we give thanks to the God who answers our prayers? Yeah, you might offer a quick thank you before meals. I know sometimes it's just real brief, or you know, we just say praise the Lord, which is great when something good happens. But this man, he was truly thankful for what God had done. As he kneeled at Jesus' feet, his heart was full of thanksgiving. And if we want to worship God, if we truly want to worship him and treasure Christ, we need to have thankful hearts. When we don't give thanks, what's the result? We're not going to treasure Christ like we should. How can we possibly treasure Christ if we don't thank him for the things he's given us? If we don't thank him for our salvation, for the grace to live each day? If I'm not treasuring Christ, I'm probably thankful for something that I did on my own merit, something that I believe I earned. But if we're thankful, then we will treasure Christ. The leper in this story treasured Christ. He cherished Christ. He savored Christ. How do we know this? In the greatest moment of his life, he turned back to show appreciation for what Christ had done. He worshiped Christ by praising God with his voice, by falling at Jesus' feet in humility, and by giving thanks for being healed. God has shown us tremendous love and mercy in his son, Jesus Christ. How will you respond to that love and mercy? Will you treasure Christ more than dinner at your favorite restaurant? More than going to Hawaii? More than whatever that personal desire is that you have? Let's pray. God, we thank you for the love and mercy that you've shown us in your son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world not to be bowed down to, but to die on a cross for our sins, to pay the penalty for our rebellion against you. God, I pray that you would help us to appreciate the love and mercy you've shown us, as this man did. God, I pray that you would help us to worship you because of what you have done. God, help us to treasure Christ. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.